So the title of today's sermon again is Blessed and Highly Favored. And just to bring you in, I ask a question. What does it mean to be blessed? See, that word, I believe, is one of the most abused words in the contemporary church. Yeah? And it's because of a lack of understanding. When you say you are blessed, what does it mean? Yes? Come on, church. Blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? Say someone is blessed. What does it mean? I'm expecting many answers.
Does it mean to have grace?
You have grace? Yes. I take it. It's good. It's good. It's part of the answers I'm expecting.
Is it when God approves of the things that are in your will?
God approves. You know, there's something I wanted to pick up from there. It looks to me that the word blessed has a divine element to it. You see? That's when being blessed and being happy. You can be happy-go-lucky. In fact, someone on drugs, you know, for the when they are high, they are happy. Is that right? Am I correct? Otherwise, they won't do it. But bless us. If you take God out, bless is no meaning. Yeah? It has a divine element to it. You see that? Yes, ma? What does it mean to be blessed? Just a minute.
It's to have God's face shine upon you.
Ah! Say God's approver. Say God's face. Then say grace. By the way, you know the word grace itself has God in it. It's God that gives grace. Grace has no meaning without God. It's God that gives what? Grace. Grace is divine ability or divine enablement. Amen? Yes, ma? What does it mean to be blessed?
To be a partaker of all the good things God has planned for us.
Yes! And by the way, I like that. But I just want to qualify it. Yeah? You understand me now? Everything God planned for you is good. Even the ones that include adversity. Amen. But we don't, you know, if you are materialistic, you will not see that. There is no plan God has for you that is not good. Because Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are what? They are thoughts of good. Hallelujah. They are thoughts of good. And sometimes you face adversity. Yeah? But God, the reason why God allows that, yeah, is to build your character. Because if your character is not built, you will not be reliable. God cannot. You see, God is looking for someone he can rely on. You know, it's like, there are some statements we make that they sound spiritual, but they are very shallow. They are not spiritual at all. Let me give you an example. You say, God has no need. You say, God has no need. It sounds spiritual, isn't it? But it's not spiritual. Did you read your Bible? He said, God is looking for a man. Is that a need? Is that a need? Yeah. You read your Bible, it says, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart. Is that a need? Does God need to be loved? Hello? If he doesn't need it, why is he asking it? Amen? He said, you know, this is my worship. Oh, Lord. Does God need your worship? Oh, yes, he does. Hallelujah. He said, my son, give attention to my words. Does God need your attention? He does. Now, let me put it in perspective. Meaning that when God doesn't get your attention, he is sad. When he gets your attention, he is happy. Does it make sense? When God doesn't get your praise, he is sad. When he gets your praise, he's what? He's happy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's another statement we make. You know, someone said, it's God that produces children. Sounds spiritual. Yeah? Who produces children? It's human beings. Amen? Oh yes, if there's a problem, God can intervene and give you a miracle. Yeah? He set the law in motion. Yeah? You plant a seed. Yeah? It will what? Germinate. If the seed is good. Amen? Yes, it's God that enables it to happen. But it's we that activate it. It makes sense? So, how we activate it matters. If you want God to be involved, involve Him. Say with me, say, if I want God to be involved, say with me, say, if I want God to be involved, I have to involve Him. Does it make sense? If you involve Him, it will be what? Involved. If you don't involve Him, yeah? Someone said, you're on your own. But you're actually never truly on your own. Because 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, he said, be sober and be what? Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is what? Going, looking for a womb. So you're never on your own. Because that moment you thought you were your own, the advice is, it's on his own. An opportunity to interfere. Amen? You see, God intervenes, but the devil interferes. Hallelujah. 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 When the devil comes, his goal is to destroy. Amen? But when God comes, his goal is that you can have life and have it to the full. Amen? So to be blessed is to have God's approval. To be blessed is to, what was your own version of that? Please remind me. To have God's face shine on you. God's favor. Can I change it to favor? God's approval, God's favor. To be blessed is to have grace. To be blessed is that you're having something you don't have in your own capacity. Do you see? You have grace. You know what? Grace is visible. When you have grace, people can see and say, there's a hand on. They know that two people here, you look the same, you are the same height, the same weight, the same energy, the same training, but they just carry grace. They do it differently. Yeah? It's not about their physical ability. There's just a divine hand upon them. That's to be blessed. And what was that again? To be blessed is to what? What was that again? To be blessed is to eat the good of the land. Isaiah says, if you are willing and what? Obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 verse 8 and continue the message on blessed and highly favored. I remember last week I was trying to explain to us that, and I will try to break it down today, just that you get it again. Matthew 5:8, let's read it first. Not Matthew 5:8, Matthew 5, sorry. And let's read verse 1 to 12. Yes, a young person. Matthew 5, verse 1 to 12. But I will implore you to read NKJV. Yeah, just one version for now. NKJV, Matthew 5, 1 to 12. Please follow her while she reads. Matthew 5, 1 to 12.
And seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called son of God. Blessed are those who persecute for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecute the prophets who were before you.
Amen. Thank you very much, my sister. She smiled. Amen. Amen. Now, let me throw this one in. It was what the Holy Spirit showed me. And I expect somebody in this church to smile. Did Jesus give us steps to blessing? Or he just said, oh, don't worry, you are just blessed. Amen? How many steps do you have to blessing in Matthew 5? Matthew 5, 1 to 12. Count it. How many steps? Count it. Open it, look through. Count me. How many steps? Like, if you like, he just say, the master key to blessing. Yeah? How many steps? How many keys? Yes? Just say. Go for it.
Is it 9?
9? Anybody disagree? Is it 9 or 10 or 8? Who thinks 10? Who thinks 9? 10. Who's 9? 10. Okay. Because 10 is bigger than 9, I want to challenge you, if you said 10, to list them so that you can satisfy those who said 9 and tell them what they have missed. Matthew 5, verse 1 to 12. How many steps to blessing? Please listen. And you can challenge if you don't agree. Go on, please.
The poor in spirit.
The first step is to be poor in spirit. And we explained last week, for the benefit of those who were not here, that means humility. Yeah? Humility, a winning to recognize that you need God. To recognize that without God, yeah, you can't do it. We can't go, you can't make it. Yeah? Your goodness is never enough. Yeah? And that poor in spirit will make you seek him. That's the natural response. You seek. You open up. You are willing. You are yielded because you recognize that you need him. Yes? Second one?
Those who mourn.
Those who mourn. And last week we explained that those who mourn is not mourning because of a disaster. Yeah? And I know Amplified talk about mourning in terms of repentance. It's part of it, but that's not the biggest deal. Yeah? The mourning happens when you are crying out to God to do something in your life. Amen? Or you are crying out to God to touch somebody in your life. Yeah? And it can, many times, yeah? It's as if God doesn't answer those prayers by a flick of the finger. It takes time. And you're just crying that day and night, Lord, touch him. Lord, do this. Lord, do this. It's as if God is not listening. Yeah? But it's a principle. Yeah? That is, you're doing that based on the mercy of God. But Bible says that if you persist, if you persevere, if you don't give up, if you don't get weary, one day you will be comforted. It will happen. The reason why it's not happening is that you give up. Yeah? You give up. And we look at the example last week of the widow that went to the judge and said, avenge me. Luke 18. And she persisted. She persisted. And God said, you know, if an unjust judge can give me, how much more me? If my elect can cry day and night. So, and that's why I say, don't give up. Sometimes you pray, it's not happening. Yeah? Don't give up. If there's a problem in your life that is bigger than you, yeah? Your faith, that you know that your faith can no longer carry, yeah? Switch to crying. Day and night, pray. Say, Lord, have mercy. Every day, cry, keep crying. I will say that one day, if you don't give up, you will be comforted. Amen? Because God is merciful. And I will say, the Lord is gracious and is what? He's compassionate. Is what? Slow to hunger and is rich in love. He's good in the art of giving us what we don't deserve. So you may not deserve it, but you can cry day and night for it. Hallelujah. And if you don't give up, you will be comforted. The day will come, you will be comforted. Say, we say the day will come. when I will be comforted. Sometimes you are enduring something, you know, not pleasant, but you are talking to God about it. God, this is not pleasant. I'm not enjoying it. Yeah, but talk, keep talking. One day, yeah, it will turn things around for your good if you don't give up. Amen. Yes, number two. Number three.
The meek.
Blessed are the meek. Today we will look at meekness. Yes, number four.
Those who hunger and thirst for.
Hunger and thirst. We'll look at that today. Number five.
The merciful.
Merciful. Hopefully we can get there today. I think that's the maximum we can do today. Merciful. Yes, continue.
Pure in heart.
Pure in heart.
Peacemakers.
So I lost count. That's six. Yes. Seven. Pure in heart, six.
Seven.
Seven, okay, yes. Peacemakers.
Yeah.
Is number what?
Number seven.
Is peacemakers. Okay, go continue.
Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Persecuted for righteousness' sake, number eight. Now it's getting tricky. Let's see how you got to ten. Go on. Oh, have we lost count?
So the next one, blessed are those.
By the way, I believe it's ten. But I've not checked my count. It's for my last count.
Yeah. Blessed are those revile and persecute you.
Yes.
And you say all kinds of evil against you.
Yes, that's number nine.
Yeah.
And then, what's the number 10th step or condition?
Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is the reward in heaven.
I thought that was still nine.
Oh, okay. Okay, so
is did I miss anyone? Anyone? Anybody who has been able to outline 10? Because it didn't give a condition. So basically, if I'm giving 10 steps, there must be a condition. I want to believe it's 10, but yes. Yeah, but that is the blessing of being persecuted and reviled for Christ's sake.
No. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecution
is the. Yeah, that's for righteousness' sake. There are two persecutions. Yes.
Your reward is the kingdom of God.
Yes, that's for righteousness' sake. But the other one is for Christ's sake.
But that's mine.
I know. So I'm saying that you've not shown me the tenth one. Is there a tenth one? Anybody? Okay. Assignment. I'm not going to go there today because time is going. Assignment. I would like to believe it's ten. But so far today, we've only proved it as nine. But it's okay. It's okay. If I can do those nine, I'm happy. Amen. Okay, let's move on because of time. So, let's now look. We want to look at three keys. So, Jesus gave you keys to bless. Hallelujah. Let me just clarify this again. To be blessed is not to be stinkingly rich. That is the unbeliever's vision. Amen. In fact, when the devil wanted to tempt Jesus, he offered him to be stinkingly rich. That was the temptation. Hello? To be stinkingly rich is the temptation the devil, it was even the greatest. He said, I will give you everything. Yeah? What does it mean to be stinkingly rich? It's not to have everything. Everything! You don't have to go to college. Someone said, praise the Lord. You know? I give everything. It was his best temptation. If you can what? Bow down and worship. I want you to understand this. That the devil is the prince of this world. He stole it from Adam. Yeah? God is the owner. God made it. The devil did not make it. He's a thief. But he's the one who is jealously controlling it. Yeah? The cost of you being stinkingly rich is to sell your soul. Yeah, that's the cost. So the battle of the believer is I want to be rich, but not stinkingly rich. When I say rich, what is richness? What does it mean to be rich? What type of richness do you need? Please tell me. Anybody wants to be rich like me? Define richness. What does it mean to be rich? Come on, church, help me. To be rich in a godly way. Not in an unbeliever way, in a godly way. What does it mean to be rich? Okay, I bought it. I've brought in godliness now. You've had a deeper thing. Because basically, do you as a believer want to do anything that is not godly? Of course not. Of course not. I don't want to do anything that is not godly. I don't want to. I sold my soul to Jesus. I already did. I'm sold out to Jesus. He is the Lord of my life. He is my King. I'm living for Him. I don't want to do anything that is not godly. So if we say, I don't want to do anything that is not godly. Are you at peace with that? Yeah? Be at peace with that. If you're a true believer, you should be at peace with that. That's what you signed up to. So what does it mean to be rich in a godly way?
So that is being rich beyond the physical. So spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So it's like everything around you. You've got peace.
Mm-hmm.
You materially, you're great. You've got great relationships.
Yep.
You've got great relationship with God as well. So it's like
yes.
All around.
So all around. Yes, I like it. Good direction. But I want more. I want more dimensions of godly richness. Where was the third mic? Where is he hiding? Ah, thank you. Go on, please.
Knowledge.
What?
To have the knowledge.
To have the knowledge. What type of knowledge? Godly knowledge. The knowledge that will move you forward. Yes? I think you're now over spiritualizing my question. Just you are rich, but it's godly. Don't over spiritualize it. Yes, I come to you. Okay. Yes, did you want to say something? Yeah.
You are like a good influence on people.
Yes.
You'd be in a room and someone would be like, you know, you bring light into the room and everyone just feels happier and just
you have,
seem like
a you have influence. Godly influence. Yeah? You have godly influence. You are influential in a godly way. Yeah? Things are going on. When they call you in, everything just set back to order. Yeah? People are in trouble. They call you. Their problems are solved. Yeah? That's richness. Yes. This way. We're going to the right wing. Yes. So she's asked some time now to recalibrate.
I think it means to not lack anything that God desires for you.
Yes. To not lack anything that is good for you. You know, I just translated it because anything that God desires for you is good for you. To not lack anything. If you are lacking something that is good for you, you are not rich. Make sense? Yeah.
I think it's quite similar to what she said, but I wanted to say contentment both physically and spiritually.
Yes.
To be content.
So basically, if you are not content, you can't have peace. Even if you have billions.
I'm trying to echo what Nick said, but with the words of the Apostle Paul. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment.
Amen. So there's this false narrative that's entered the church that for you to be blessed, you have to be in money. Stinking money. It's not in the Bible. It's just not there. Search the Bible. Search all the book of Acts of the Apostles and all the disciples of Jesus. How many of them were billionaires? Okay, say what? We cannot know billionaire. How many of them were stinkingly rich? Okay, we know Barnabas sold land and Ananias and Sapphira. Amen? In the time of Jesus, how many of them were stinkingly rich? Okay, we know Joseph of Arimathea was rich because he had the grave carved from the rock. And Nicodemus probably also was rich. But how many? Oh, you had the rich long ruler that came to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I want to follow you. What should Jesus have done? Bring him to the front seat. Make him a deacon. Yeah? This one has money and he has kept all the commandments from his youth. You follow that? He has kept all the commandments from his youth. Yeah? But what Jesus said? Jesus said, the Bible said he loved him. He looked at him. He loved him. He said, you are lacking one thing. Yeah? This man had everything. But Jesus said, you are lacking what? One thing. You can have everything. But that one thing you are lacking can make all the difference for your eternity. He said, you know what? Go and sell everything that you have. Yeah? Give the sales. Just in case you're thinking that I'm trying to take over your money. Yeah? Let's do a quick disclaimer. Give what you sell. Don't even bring it through me. Immediately as you're selling it, transfer it to take care of the poor. I'm not asking that one from you. But all I'm asking from you is, you come and follow me. You know what he lacked? The ability to follow Jesus. Let me explain that. Meaning that, you know, when you want to follow Jesus, you are willing to obey him. He said, go left. You go left. He said, go right. You go right. Yeah? Well, he lacked that ability. How can Jesus be telling you where to go? Amen? So Jesus then really showed us in that example that it's not your riches that is the proof that God has blessed you. Amen? But to be rich, let's define it well. Yeah? It's to have everything. Oh, sorry. If I don't allow her, we are going to the same house.
Yeah, I just want to read from 2 Corinthians. So this is Paul praying for the believers there, encouraging them to give cheerfully. And then he said, so this is verse 2 Corinthians, I can't see now. Chapter 9, verse 11. He said, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. So kind of praying so that they can be rich enough, not just for their own, but to be able to give. So the whole point of those riches is for you to give. So for me, you're rich if you're in a position where you're not struggling to meet just your needs, but you have enough to give, so you're generous.
Amen. I take it. It's good. So let me just summarize all your definitions, because they're all good. It's to be rich. It's to have everything that you need to live a godly life. Amen. In fact, you shouldn't have more. If you add just one more thing more than what you need to live a godly life, that extra you use it for ungodliness. Let me try to understand. Please follow this teaching. If I have all I need to live a godly life, yeah? If I have more than what I need to live a godly life, that extra will be used for what? Ungodliness. I'm trying to teach this in a way that you get it. That richness is not just about quantity. So that's why there's times as you're working with God, God can bless you mightily. Then after you give it away. Can you imagine? Yeah? You've been working hard, you have one car. Yeah? But you've been working hard that you want to have a reserve car. And just as a sign that you are rich. Finally, you get this reserve car. But you are following God. God says, okay, now you have a new car. Congratulations. That former one, give it to sister. If you keep it, on God, this will enter your life. You understand? Because, you see, contentment can only be defined. You see, the ultimate definition of contentment is your ability to trust God with your life. You will never be truly content until you are able to trust God. Yeah? For the present and for the future. Bible says even vain is the help of man. So now you are trusting a man. Maybe some God has been using someone to bless you. Yeah? Thank God for them. Appreciate them. But don't put your trust in them. Yeah? Because they are human. Things can change or they can change. Then you're going to get very angry and very bitter and very resentful. Yeah? The way is that when things change and maybe they're no longer supporting you, because your trust has always been God, you're just going to look to God to provide. God uses people, yes. But if you're not trusting him, man, when someone fails, God, I'm here. It's you I'm trusting. He will open up another door. And what I find about God is that he can use the most unlikely person. So then you're looking at faces and think, oh, this one cannot help me. And it may be that person that God will use to help you. Amen? So contentment is your ability to trust God. Yeah? That's it. So when you are content, God can tell you that, okay, I know you've been, I'm not saying you should do it. Please, disclaimer, I'm not saying you should do this. You have to be realistic and practical. But depending on the level you work with God, let's assume I spent 10 years, yeah, saving £10,000. I'm just saying. Yeah, if I'm trusting God. On the 10th year, when he's now completed as 10,000, God cannot say, okay, how much do you have in your bank account? Is that 10? Yeah? Okay. Sister Audrey, not this one. You know, he's trying to buy a house. Our deposit is not complete. I want you to give her 5. If you are not trusting God, you can't do it. Never. You won't explain it to God, you just shut him down. Then when you wake up the next day, say, God, as we're talking about, I need that. Amen? Are you with me? So to be rich is to have everything I need to live a godly life. And like Pastor said, you know, it also means that you cannot be truly rich until you are able to allow God to use you to bless others. You understand? If you have money, if you are stinking rich, but God cannot use you to bless others, you're a poor, wretched soul. It's in the Revelation chapter 3. You say you are rich, but you are poor, and you are wretched, and you are naked. Why? Because you can't use them. No use to him. You understand? So you are rich, your needs are met, but you are also in the position that God can use you to bless others, to solve problems for others, to make a difference for others. And it's not only in money. Do you see? Sometimes it's your time, your energy, the extra mile you go, that's richness. You see, you can have money, but not be making any impact. Yeah? Okay, I know you're having a nice clothes, nice shoes, nice party, nice holiday, nice, what else can you have? But you're not touching any life. You're not touching any Lazarus. Yeah? Praise the Lord. That wasn't because of my message, but the Holy Spirit has gone there, so let's enjoy it. Matthew 5. So we define what it means to be blessed. So can I ask you a question again? This is the way the Holy Spirit wants to play. So let's allow him. Who was the most blessed person that ever lived? The most blessed person that ever lived. You know the answer. Come on. Yes, come. Don't be shy. You can't miss it. Who was the most blessed person that's ever lived? The most blessed.
Abraham.
Abraham? No, you're close. It's not the answer. You're close. Yes? Most blessed person that ever lived. Okay. You're close. It's not a bad answer. Are you teaching yourself? Okay. I need one person so I can hold you to account. No, not you. So I will hold you to account. So who's?
Jesus.
Okay. Well, is there another answer? Moses. What about Solomon?
No.
Come on. I didn't say. Yeah?
This is a subcategory. Hail Mary, Mother of God.
Mary. At least some people are still trying to worship her now. Yes? Did you have a second answer? Different?
No,
okay.
I said Isaac.
Isaac. So you believe that Isaac is more blessed than Abraham?
No. No, it's definitely Abraham.
You don't believe that Isaac is more blessed than Abraham? I'm confusing you. Okay, yes.
David?
David, yes, yes, and there are good reasons so.
You know, I've chosen David, my servant. In my holy oil, I've anointed him. The scepter will not depart from
Noah.
Judah. Noah, yes. Have you ever wondered why Solomon is not in Hebrews chapter 11? All the heroes of faith. Yeah? Give David. Then he stops there and skips to Jephthah. No, Solomon. Homework. Yes? Okay, any other person before I move on? So why do you think Jesus is the most blessed person that ever lived?
Yeah, it's the Son of God.
No, that's not why he's the most blessed person.
He is, yes.
No. I mean that Jesus being the Son of God is not why he's the most blessed person that ever lived. So, another reason.
He has all the blessings. He has been blessed. Through Jesus, we have life.
You're not talking. Amen. Jesus is the most blessed person that ever lived.
When we talk about Abraham's blessing, do you know Abraham's blessing? It's Jesus.
The blessing of Abraham is who?
It's Jesus. There is no way Abraham can be a blessing to the whole world except through Jesus.
When Abraham was alive, all three times was alive in the promised land, he was living in tents. All through the life of Abraham. Where did he live? Tents. Yeah. Yeah, boy, they came to look for him in the house where he was staying. Yeah, he's trying to tell you that he doesn't own it. But he had houses he lived in. They were just other people's houses. Yeah, you know, you're correct. I'm just trying to say that you're correct. That statement is correct. That he has no place to lay his head. But we'll link that back to the blessing. But physically speaking, he slept in houses. Yeah? You remember the two disciples that came to Jesus and said, "Where are you staying?" Yeah? Then they followed him. He told them, "Come and see." And they stayed with him. Yeah? But all those houses were not his. That was what I was trying to tell you. He didn't own any. Even the grave he slept in is borrowed. Amen? So there's nothing bad about borrowing or having a mortgage. Just make sure you pay it. Amen? If you don't want to have a mortgage, you're still going to pay rent anyway. Hello? Whether you pay mortgage or you pay rent, you're paying something. You can as well pay towards your own house. Amen? And then hopefully one day you can own it. And then if you are truly blessed, you will have many more years to enjoy full ownership. Amen? I thought you said amen to that. Amen?
Amen?
So Jesus is the most blessed person that ever lived. Because he's the one that was able to transfer the blessing to all of us. To be truly blessed, your blessing has to affect lives. If it's not affecting life, it's empty barrel. Amen? Hello? Are you with me? Anything that God, and let me not tell you, your true riches is not just money. Your talents are part of your riches. Amen? The knowledge you have, the experience you have, the connection you have, the influence you have, is part of your riches. Anything you have that you can use to add value, yeah, is part of your riches. The fact that people are being oppressed and you can raise up your voice and speak for those who don't have any voice is an asset. Amen. You can use it to change things. Amen. It may not be money, but it's an asset. So your richness is everything good that God has put in you. Amen. Everything good that goes, you're a package. I'm a package of good things. You need to say this. I'm not trying to make you like feel good. I'm telling the whole truth. Say, I'm a package of good things. You ask me, why do I know that? Because God is the one that packaged you. Amen. And all the devil is trying to do all the time is to steal, remove one good thing from you, make one good thing die, And that could, something happens, yeah? You are offended. You let that offense sit on you. Yeah? It becomes resentment, bitterness. It kills a good thing. That good thing, you just find out you don't feel like doing it. Yeah? You don't know that a good thing is dying because you're allowing offense to dominate. Yeah? Are you with me? Those are your riches. Your energy is part of your riches. Your service. You know when you serve God with your energy? You better do it now that you are still young. Amen? You know, like, my wife was like, you know, ah, you're still looking young. I said, I'm 47. It's certified. It's not a matter of, it's not a fake. Amen? Hallelujah. Another 10 years now. Before you know, you are 60. Now that you have energy, use it to serve God. Amen? Use it to serve God. You see, because the day is coming where you don't have that energy as much. Amen? Your energy is part of your riches. Anything you can use to add value, anything you can use to change something, anything you can use to touch someone, yeah, is your riches. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the greatest, the most best person is Jesus. He was not the richest. Yeah? Check your Bible. Solomon was richer than Abraham. Do you know why? Count the number of sheep that Abraham had. Count the number of sheep that Solomon sacrificed in the temple. 1,000 sheep. Just 1,000 bulls. 1,000. The guy was dealing with thousands. If there was one person in the Bible that was stinkingly rich, it was Solomon. Sorry? Job. Yeah, he was. But again, if you count it, just do some mathematical counting. Because the Bible actually gives us the count of Job's riches. Yeah? And you now can go back and count Solomon's riches. This is pure mathematics. And if you are still doubting it, how many wives did Job have? Do you know how many wives Job had? He had one, or maybe two. That he had one, but I don't know, but I think Bible scholars feel that that first one who told him to curse God did not make it. So it was a new wife that gave him the new children. Okay, it's not explicit in the Bible, but I believe that there are scholars who believe that. So I'm not saying that's the truth. How many wives did Solomon have? He has 700 wives and 300 backup. Backup. They were backup wives. You see that this man was thinking of it. But the end of Solomon was a disaster. Yeah, his riches. And I know, you know, things are not just in the Bible for nothing. His riches led him into idolatry. It is not by mistake. It's a pattern. Amen. Do you know that Jesus Christ did not come from Solomon by blood? You see, that's why when you read the book of Matthew, you see the... I know when you enter, you read it, you skipped it because like, all those names. Yeah? It gives you history from Adam to Jesus. And by the way, that's one of the valid proofs that tells you that the Bible, yeah, is the real deal. There's no other history book in the world that will tell you all your forefathers. No history book can link you to like 100 generations ago. Nobody has the history. But the Bible gives you every name from Adam, yeah, to Joseph, the legal guardian of Jesus. He was not the biological father of Jesus. You know that. Because Mary was a virgin. But he was the legal guardian. And Joseph came from the line of Solomon. But when you look at the history of Jesus from in Luke, it gives you Jesus coming from the line of Mary. And you find that David had Solomon. Then he had another son called Nathan. So, because the human blood of Jesus comes only from Mary, Joseph did not contribute anything because God did not allow him to. Before he could contribute, Mary was pregnant. Amen? Let me throw this in. By the way, do you know grace is important, yeah? You read your Bible and the Bible says that Joseph, he did not touch Mary until she had given birth. Do you know I did that? Grace. It's grace. It's not every day he's suffering. Yeah? God gave him what? Grace. So, the blood of Jesus, the human blood of Jesus, Solomon had no share. No share. It was David and then branched off to Nathan. Do you see that? So that's why I tell you that your relationship with God is your most important riches. Yeah? Oh yes. I'm not saying you should not be rich. You should have what you need. Amen? And the Lord, my God, Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, we do what? He will supply. I don't know about you, but I believe it. The Lord will supply all my needs according to what? His riches in glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will supply all my needs according to His riches. And that's what it means to be blessed. Because God's riches are unlimited. If I'm able to draw from them for any of my needs, I'm supplied. Amen. I'm supplied. And I can remain in godliness. Amen. If Solomon remained in godliness, his blood would have transmitted to produce Jesus. Okay, let's do that for another day. What's the time? What am I doing with time? Time up. Praise God. Let's rise up. Let's rise up and pray. So today I preached about being blessed. Of course, I'm not breaking down any of the bits. But I believe that I say many things because that's what the Holy Spirit wants to say today. You know, we prayed and said, God, give me a specific word for a specific person. It's not even targeted at anybody. This the Holy Spirit is doing His own thing. But whatever way He has spoken to you, I want you to take that word to heart and respond accordingly. That, you know what? Why don't you make up your mind today that you want to be truly blessed? Understanding that the most blessed person was Jesus. Despite the sacrifice, despite whatever, but He was able to touch lives. Where they needed food, God used them. Where they needed healing, God used them. Where they needed comfort, God used them. Lives that were messed up, tax collectors, publicans, prostitutes, He turned them round. Mary Magdalene, that became the first person that saw Jesus after He died, after He rose from the grave. At the time in her life, she was possessed with 7 demons. 7. And Jesus came in, turned the story around completely. Completely. So, pray and say, Lord, that's exactly the life I want to live. I want to be truly blessed. And to be truly blessed, I have to be what? A blessing. Truly blessed is to let God have His way in my life. Until God has His way, He cannot use you for His glory. You know why? You'll be resisting Him. To be truly blessed is to have all my needs met in such a way that God can now use me to touch others. You know the way God touches people? He uses people. Amen? And God is looking for someone who He can depend on. Can I be that person? That He can rely on. Can I be that person? God is looking for somebody that He can bless, but in order to bless you, He wants to use you. Can I be that person? Pray to God and say, Lord, that's the type of person I want to be. I want to be truly rich. Are you truly rich? I'm using my talents, I'm using my energy, I'm using my time, everything at God's disposal. Yeah? To touch other people's lives. To bring them into righteousness. To bring them into godliness. You know when the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, it's not talking about peace brokers. He's not a peace broker. A peacemaker is somebody who can forgive. Amen? You make peace by forgiving and not holding on to offenses. Yeah? That's how you make peace. It's not brokering peace. It's making peace. You forgive. You let go. Because if you don't, Satan will come and sit on your head. And that word is going to someone today that you have to learn to forgive. It's part of your spiritual journey of maturity that you forgive. That allows God to do greater things in your life. But if you are holding on, you're going to limit God. So if you are here today, something has offended you, someone has offended you, forgive. Let it go right now. Drop it at the cross. Crucify it at the cross. You know, people, life cannot change without love. It's the love of God that changes life. But you know what? God cannot rain down his love without people. It is you that God will use to transmit his love to that other person in your life. But if you can't use you, then God is limited. God is limited. So pray and say, Lord, let me be a vessel of your love, an expression of your love. But that includes making peace by forgiving. Someone has offended you, yeah? Forgive them. You're not doing it because of them. You're doing it because of Jesus. And the Bible says that the Lord will reward you. Amen? He said, the Lord, when you forgive them, he said, your enemy is hungry, you give him drink. Your enemy is thirsty, you give him. He said, you will heap coals of fire on their head, but the Lord, what? Will reward you. Hallelujah. That's what it means to be blessed. Thank you, Lord. We pray that you, as a church, you take us to higher ground in living the life of Christ, in practicalizing the life of Christ. We pray that, Lord, everyone in this church, including myself, will be delivered from false religion. Sometimes the worst enemy of your faith is not unbelief, but false religion. Believing the wrong thing. Pray that we will deliver from false religion. That can be true worshippers, true disciples, worshipping you in spirit and in truth. People you can depend on. People who are practicing the word of God. Practicing the principles of the word. And producing fruit of righteousness. That's the prayer you want to pray. That's where I want to be. I pray that, Father, you help me. I have only one life to live. Only one life. I mean like physical life on this earth. I must make the most of it for his glory. The Lord, help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me. Help me, Lord. I don't want to waste my life chasing what has no value. Then I look back and say, oh, why? I wish I had known. I don't want to make my testimony. I want to know now. I don't want to later. Thank you, Lord. Take us to higher ground. In Jesus' name. I just sing a song. It says, have your way, Lord. Have your way. You know, I tell you, that's a song of true worship.